All right. Good evening, everybody. My name is Caleb. This is Julia. And we're super excited to be talking about this topic of how to be a great student. And we're here at NYU with some great students right in front of us. We got Felicia, Kaylee, and Jai here listening live, which is great. But this is cool because we get to look at a biblical perspective of what it means to be a great student. And I think the best place to start with any topic that we look at is to look at the life of Jesus, right? We often think of Jesus as a master teacher, which he was, but before he got to that point, he was a student. And so I want to look back at Jesus as a child. And in Luke 2, we can see that. And so if you guys want to turn to Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 41, and we'll skip around a little bit. But in verse 41, it says, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. And we'll skip down to verse 45. It says, when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And that's powerful. But let's skip down to verse 52. It says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. All right, we'll stop there. But from what we read here, Jesus was the ideal student. At 12 years old, I can guarantee you guys that I was not trying to do what Jesus was doing. I was not going to school to listen and to take notes and to do whatever, right? And to ask questions. I was there for the snacks, I was there for the sports, and I was there for the nap times at 12 years old. And in college, it's just so difficult sometimes to focus and actually listen to the professors. A lot of the lectures are boring sometimes, and just being honest. Maybe you're tired. You got a lot of work to do throughout the week, and you're just too tired to actually listen during a lecture. Or maybe you're hungry. That happened to me a lot. You get hungry during class, and you're thinking about what you're going to eat after class. And so that distracts you during class. But as disciples of Jesus and people really trying to follow Jesus's example, we want to imitate his life even in the classroom. And that's where it can get tough. But in verse 52, it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And if after each semester of school, we were able to do the same thing, we were able to grow in all these different areas, that would be amazing, right? And so we
So
want
you
to get
don't
to
get the
that point. But Jesus was able to see that type of growth by being a great student. And that's how it happened. And after 3 days, they found Jesus with the teachers listening to them. Part of looking at Jesus's life, we see that he was an amazing listener, even at 12 years old. And so our first point for tonight is that a great student is a student who listens, a student who listens. And I want to share a lot about my life during this lesson here. But when I started at NYU, I honestly was not a great student. My goal was to get by classes with decent grades by listening to the professors as little as possible. All right, that was my goal. I wanted to do as little work as possible. I would skip some classes. I'd be on my phone playing games during class. I'd be nodding off during lectures. And crazy enough, my first couple of semesters of class were okay, and they weren't terrible. But then it started to catch up with me because I was a mechanical engineering major, and you can't get by doing all those things, skipping classes and being on your phone during lectures. And all of a sudden, I was completely lost in all of my classes, even after I was going to them consistently. After just zoning out for 5 minutes, I would already be lost. And with each lecture, I was falling further and further behind, and my lack of listening was destroying my GPA. And I see these messages. Mark is judging me. Nick was judging me before. You know, it's okay. It's okay. I see. I see. And
We don't have to give any explanation.
not too much later, I was on academic probation. And I was at the risk of losing my scholarship. I got a scholarship to go to NYU. It's too expensive here. And I was at the risk of throwing away everything. So something had to change in my life, right? And a part of what I had to change was to become a better listener, because I noticed that I would tend to get distracted by my phone notifications during class. And so to change my life around, I decided to keep my phone face down during lectures. I also had a hard time retaining information taught in the lectures because I was too lazy to write everything down. But I decided to turn this around, become a better listener by actually writing notes down in my notebook or typing them out, right? Not being too lazy to do that. And I would also often zone out and nod off during classes. So to change things around, I would try to get sleep, go to sleep earlier, get a healthy amount of sleep to be able to focus the next day. And that was hard, especially for me. I'm a night owl. But also I knew I usually get hungry during my afternoon classes, so I started to bring a snack so that I wasn't thinking about food the whole lecture, and so that I could actually focus. The last thing I did, because I knew it was hard to kind of hear the professor in the back of the lecture hall or the classroom, so I started sitting in the front row because I was like, you know what, I'm going to listen. I'm definitely not going to nod off in the front row. So let me sit in the front row. And so I did all these things to try to change my life around and become a better student and a better listener. And as I started to imitate Jesus as a student who really listens, I saw a big difference in my grades and my overall understanding in each class. But guys, what keeps you from really listening during class? What distractions do you have on the regular? One thing I've noticed from school is that you can't listen if you don't show up to class. And I've experienced skipping class, but rule one of listening, you got to show up, right? You need to show up to class to be a great listener. A great student shows up early to lecture so that they don't miss anything. Another thing a great student does is that they listen to when assignments are due and when exams are scheduled. And they don't guess about that. They're not like, oh, maybe I have an exam next week. I don't really know. Or, oh, shoot, I forgot there's an assignment due tonight at midnight. That's happened to me a lot. But a great student is on top of that, right? They listen to when assignments are due, when exams are. And a great student overall gets the rest they need to be able to be attentive in class the next day. But are you guys being responsible with when you go to bed? Could you go to sleep a little earlier each night to be able to listen more intently the next day? But are you guys students who listen? And looking here in Luke 2, we see that Jesus was a student who listened. And if we want to follow in his footsteps, we need to strive after being great listeners as well. Amen. And if we look back to Luke 2, verse 46, Jesus was found not only listening to the teachers, but he was also asking them questions. And so our second point for tonight is that a great student is a student who asks questions. A student who asks questions. And both of these things, right? Listening and asking questions are both things that take a lot of humility. And so seeing Jesus do this is powerful, right? If the Son of God can ask questions, then we can too, right? And I know for me, back when I was on academic probation, part of what put me in that situation in the first place was the fact that I was too embarrassed or too timid to ask questions during class, during the lectures. I would act as if I understood everything, even though the professors would pause multiple times throughout the lecture to ask everyone if anyone had any questions. And I would still be too timid to ask a question. And sometimes I was just so confused in the class that I didn't even know what to ask in the first place. But what really helped me to turn my grades around was not only being a great listener during class, but also being great at asking questions. I had trouble understanding a concept in, let's say, differential equations, which was probably my most challenging class at the time, or a problem in physics, I would raise my hand and ask some sort of question like, "Hey, professor, I'm having trouble understanding how you got to that solution. Can you explain that again?" And I would do this multiple times to try to get out of this academic probation. I was trying to really understand what was going on in class. And at first, I was embarrassed to ask these questions. But then one day, after I had asked the professor some questions, one of my classmates leaned over and whispered to me, and he was like, "Thanks for asking that, man. I actually didn't understand that either. I needed some clarification." And so a lot of the times, if you're listening well and you're still confused about something, the chances are somebody else in your class is also confused, just as confused as you. If you're really listening and being a great listener and you still don't understand, then you should probably ask a question because there's probably other people that don't understand as well. So don't be embarrassed to get clarification from your teachers. That's really part of their job, is to teach you effectively. And so they won't mind you asking some questions. But this is why it's so important to become a great listener, because there's a difference between asking a question because you're genuinely confused by something and asking a question because you weren't paying attention or you weren't actually listening. And the professors will probably know the difference between the two. But how are you guys doing with asking questions when things are confusing? Are you asking professors questions like, "What exactly should I study this week in order to do well on the exam coming up?" That was a helpful question for me in all of my classes. And if you feel like asking questions during a lecture is too intimidating, are you going to office hours? Right? Office hours are a great opportunity to ask questions within a smaller group, or even one-on-one with the professor. And so office hours were big for me too, going in after lectures and after labs to get more clarification. And it gives you more of an opportunity to get to know the professor and how they teach. But if you're intimidated by asking a question during a lecture, office hours are a great opportunity to do that as well. But then another thing too is, are you asking questions to other students who are doing well in the class, like seeing what they're studying and how they're doing their homework, and getting more insight from even your students, even the students in the class. But a great student is a student who asks questions.
Man, I love Caleb's first points in really imitating Jesus and how he listened and asked questions in the scripture. And I honestly think like a better way or more tangible way that we can all view this, that Caleb said earlier, to be able to really live this out as a disciple is to really see it as a student, like in college, is really being humble, right? This act of walking in humility. And I think of the scripture and reading it and just imagining like how, like imagine Jesus in his humility and eagerness, like boldly sitting among the teachers at 12 years old, despite understanding already at that point, like his unique relationship with God early on as a boy, which can be seen through the scriptures where he says, "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Just listening and getting insight, sitting there in humility, getting insight in that way. And I think for me, it's made me question in the past, like how I've come into these classes. Having been like a STEM major, I'd honestly come into these classes with a huge ego. By my first semester in college and even through high school, like I'd already experienced so many classes where I'd have to teach myself the material, whether it's like not even pay attention to like what the teacher said because it'd be maybe too confusing, or just like having to teach myself. Like I've had to force myself to learn how to excel in that way. And I think in that it was like it also just exposed and brought out so many other characteristics that like just didn't set me up for any good. And I think it really just exposed my ego. And I've had to ask myself, like, do I really come into these classes humble and ready to learn? Or do I come into these classes at times maybe distracted or distracted by my own ego, to know that listening and asking questions that will really let me understand, like Jesus did, is really how I can be the best student that I can be in imitating Jesus in that way. And I think I really just love just this little glimpse that we get of Jesus when he was younger, because we get to see how this really sets him up to not only walk humbly and be able to learn humbly, but to also teach humbly in that way too. And I think that has a lot to say of who Jesus was once he became that master teacher. And I think for you guys, that's how you can ask yourself, like, how do you really come into these classes? Do you come to these classes ready to listen, ready to learn, ready to humbly give an effort to try to understand? Or do we come into these classes like already hating the class, not liking the teacher, not liking the material, and ready to like be on our phones for the next hour to maybe watch some Netflix with a little like small window, because now Netflix can do that on the apps, or ready to text our friends, or even sometimes like excuse ourselves by like working on other classes for that next hour instead of really coming in to listen and to learn? But yeah.
Yeah, that was great. There's so much in Jesus and his character and his actions from what we even from what we just read in Luke 2, and he was 12 years old, right? But there's so much in his character and actions that we can put into practice to become amazing students in our classes. But it all means nothing without the right motivation. And so that's what I'm going to talk about next. And as we've been studying out in the book of Ecclesiastes, as we've been studying that out, making your purpose in life based on your career is meaningless, right? We've already studied that out. And chasing wisdom as your purpose in life is meaningless. And so, what exactly was the motivation of Jesus to be a great student in Luke 2? And so let's look back in Luke 2, Luke chapter 2, and let's look at verse 48. This is one we didn't read. We skipped over it, but let's go back to it in Luke 2, verse 48. And this is right after Jesus' parents find him in the temple courts. But in verse 48, it says, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. We'll stop there. But Jesus's response to his parents really shows his motivation here. In verse 49, he says, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" And Jesus wasn't just in the temple courts to chase wisdom and to grow in his career as a future rabbi, right? That could have been his motivation, but it wasn't, right? His motivation was God. He wanted to be in his father's house. He wanted to get closer with God and to please his father. He didn't just grow in wisdom, he grew in favor with God. That's what the scripture says. Without God, the rest is meaningless. And that's why Jesus responds that way. He says, "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" There's no place he would have rather been, right? He wanted to be in his father's house and learn more about him. And there's no motivation that really compares to that. And so our final and most important point for tonight is that a great student is a student motivated by God. A student motivated by God. God was the motivation for Jesus to listen closely and to ask questions. He wanted to please his father. That was his motivation. And for us, it can be hard to understand what being a great student has to do with pleasing God, right? It's kind of like, what's the correlation between the two? Especially because in this story we read in Luke, Jesus was literally in the temple courts, directly learning about God. But in our classrooms, we're probably not studying scriptures, right? We might be studying psychology or physics or engineering, whatever it is. But whatever it is, it's hard to equate doing well in these classes with pleasing God. But this scripture really helps me to put it into perspective. And so let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Shout out psych, nice. Psych majors. Shout out engineers. Shout out creative fields. Yeah. But Colossians 3, starting in verse 23, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And we'll stop there. But this changes everything, right? This changes the mindset about everything. When you submit your assignments on time, it is the Lord you are serving, right? When you listen and take notes diligently during lecture, even if it's boring, it's the Lord you are serving. When you work hard to focus in the class that bores you the most, it is the Lord you are serving. When you're writing that 10-page research paper and you're tempted to give up after page two, but you persevere through the rest, it is the Lord you are serving. A great student is a student who is motivated by God. Without God as the motivation, it becomes more and more tempting to slack off, to not put your best foot forward. But whether we're students in the temple courts like Jesus, or students in the classroom, whether we're at work or school, we're called to work at whatever we do with all of our heart. Any other motivation is meaningless. If we're working hard in school just to become successful in our career, and that was our primary motivation, it's meaningless. A career is only temporary. A salary is only temporary. Job status is only temporary. It all goes away, right? But this scripture emphasizes that if we work hard to please the Lord, then we will receive an inheritance that is eternal, an inheritance worth fighting for, worth working hard for. And Jesus grew in his favor with God because he worked hard to please him.
So yeah, like Caleb said, I think it's very timely that going through our Sunday series, Everything Everywhere All at Once, through the book of Ecclesiastes and really finding meaning in life, that like this is what we're talking about. That like school is probably one of the biggest things that can pull and consume the meaning in our lives for you guys as college students. And with school, like I feel like in this stage of your life, like as a college student, it's hard because there's a lot expected from you guys. You somehow have to figure out what you want to study, what career you're going after, what programs and jobs you need to have to get that experience and get the career, all while striving to be disciples, honoring God, balancing other things like family and friends, and whatever else comes to mind. And this whole college experience starts at the age of 17 or 18. Like, that is so much. So much of it, so much things to do. And I think for me, I mean, sorry, what we've been learning through these series and through what Caleb's is saying is that going after success in college and career and all that isn't necessarily bad. But if we don't put God first, if our motivation isn't God, then it's meaningless and that motivation will easily wear off. And for me, in my experience, I'll be honest with you guys, being around for a little bit or at any point I've needed help with school, like I've heard this scripture and I've at some times too like shared this scripture with people. And for me, whenever this scripture has been shared with me, like I thank the person, but I'd be really thinking like, okay, sure, but like I need more. Like, give me something else. Like, how can I work for the Lord when this professor is really making this class like so not manageable? Like, how can I really work for the Lord when it seems like I'm going through all these classes and I'm already set up for failure? And how can I do that when blank, you fill in the blank? And I think for me, like I really needed to wrestle with myself through the scripture because This is the go-to scripture that is always shared with me when I'm going through a lot, especially when I was going through a lot with college, during college. And I think it really was to for me to understand that this scripture wasn't just something to read when school was getting rough or work was piling up, but it was my motivation that changed my perspective and my heart towards anything that I did. Because in the scripture where it says, as if we're working for the Lord, like it takes everything out of the equation. It takes anything that could possibly make sense and is definitely valid, like not having a good teacher, not having a good class, not having good material, not feeling like you have a hold on what you're really being tested on, all of that. It takes all of that out of the equation and just says, well, no, like you're working for the Lord. And what, how much. For me, how much more would my demeanor, would my character change? How much more would me having conversations with other people about these classes change when I see that I'm really going about it as if I'm working for the Lord? And it's really something to really condition myself and something that I need to really take into now after college, of if anything that I do, I'm working for the Lord. And instead of thinking, how can I fit God into my schedule? It was, well, how can I prioritize my times with God to start off my day or to keep me going throughout my day? And it was thinking of people that could help me in this like challenge, in this walk of trying to really be a great student. And I think one of the biggest, by the grace of God, stories that I have is really my last semester of college. I had three upper division science classes left, all 300s, and two were labs. So I was actually looking it up yesterday, how many classes I had, because it felt like six. But yeah, for any of my STEM girls that know, having a science class is really having a lab is really like having another class on top of it. And I think going into that semester, even just realizing all of the different motivations that I've had in the past, and really keeping this scripture to heart of what it looks like to not just work at it as if I'm working for the Lord, but that scripture too, to love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind. I really came into that semester, like game planning everything. And not in the sense of the scheduling part, and that's important too, but I think like game planning my heart and how can I not just start with this motivation to really work for God, but how can I keep it throughout the semester? Because at this point where you guys are at now, maybe the month and a half, 2 month part, if I ask you how you're doing with your classes, maybe you'll say, it's good, it's going well, you're on top of it, even though it's hard. Or maybe you're at a point where school is piling up, homeworks are piling up, and midterms and finals are coming. So you have to somehow figure out how to catch up with all the work, all the projects, all the assignments while preparing for all the tests that you're about to face in about a week or two. And I think I've reached that point every single semester. And with this semester, I really needed to not only get my heart there and understand what it took for me to really take that and know in anything that I did that semester, it was to work for the Lord. But it took, honestly, like getting help from everybody. Of like asking, okay, when can I schedule this? When can I get these times together? Do you think it's realistic if I do this? And that's honestly what's just worked for me, really taking starting off with that heart, but then also imitating that walking in humility that we were talking about earlier. And honestly, I like that semester. I mean, it was this past spring semester and I graduated, amen. But I honestly don't even remember like how I survived. And it's by the grace of God. I think part of it, like I felt like a zombie, like just doing it. But also part of it, like I can also remember so much so of like what I learned and everything in it. And I think that was a semester that I really, really just lived that scripture out. And so I want to encourage you guys really for this semester, even if you guys may feel like work is a lot, school is catching up and really like chasing you down. Like, how can you really maybe not think through the part of starting off with this motivation, but how can you hold on to this motivation that it's God that you're really working for? But Kale's gonna finish us off.
Well, that's awesome. And as we close out this lesson tonight, I just want to emphasize and remind you guys that yes, our motivation should be God, which means our priority should be God, right? And if your priority is God, then you're going to put him first. Even if you have a lot of assignments piling up, you're still going to make it to church. You know what I mean? You're still going to put him first, no matter what you have going on in terms of schoolwork, even if you have a paper due, even if you have a presentation to prepare for. And if you're working hard for God, of course, he'll want to be there with you through it all to help you. He wants you to go to him when you're stressed with schoolwork. Like he wants you to spend time with him during those stressful times of the semester. And God helped me through so much while I was in school. I went from being on academic probation to finishing my final semester of college with a 4.0. But my motivation wasn't just to look good or to get a great job after college. It was to work hard for the Lord. And so that's what I did. And honestly, working hard for the Lord can pull other people to God too. If you think about it, right, an invite to church from a student doing well in class, getting an A plus, sounds a lot more attractive than an invite from someone who was on pro or academic probation, right, which is what I was at. But just thinking about that, right, we're Christ's ambassadors. We represent Christ in our classrooms. And so we want to make Christ look good, right? We want to get Christ some A's, right? And we can honor God with our life in this way. But what is your motivation? A great student is a student who listens, who asks questions, and who has God as at the forefront, who is motivated by God. And Julie and I could talk about this subject for hours. We have a lot of college stories that we could share with you guys, but we want to give you some time to put point two into practice, right? About asking questions, right? But we're going to have some time for Q&A at the end of this. And you can ask questions about questions you have about being a great student or questions you have about trying to find balance between prioritizing God while working hard in class. Or even you could share anything that stood out to you in this lesson. But right now, we just want to open it up to you guys. So if you'd like to share or ask a question, you can put me in the chat. But thank you guys for listening. And we'd love to hear some of you guys share.